sword.
It really is so much easier on the minister. He's not looking at a group over here, a few here and a few there. So under normal conditions, we wouldn't ask you to do this, but we're so thinned out this morning that, and I know how we like to spread out. And so anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 So we're really glad to be here once again this morning, and we're thrilled to have our brother J.R. Reek with us this morning. He's faced quite the battle getting here. We've tentatively arranged for him to come out twice now, and he's had obstacles in his way, and some injured ribs was the first episode. And he said, I could come and just, you know, kind of do a seminar so I don't have to use my voice. And I said, no, we'll wait until you're mended. And, you know, we want the Lord to just have his way. And you never know, you know, and when your ribs hurt, it's really painful to preach sometimes. So anyway, and then they were going to come out again here just recently, and coronavirus visited their home, so we're thankful that they're well this morning and with us. And so, you know, the devil's desperate, and I don't blame the devil for pulling every trick in his bag, but our God is in control. And, you know, when you face this kind of opposition, you just know that God has something special for you. And Satan somehow knows it. I don't know how he's privy to some things, and maybe not others, but maybe he can just, maybe he's hearing some of your prayers, and he's trying to head things off. So anyway, we're just thrilled to have our brother with us. He's one of our own. He's lived in the Phoenix area, and then when he was around 11 or 12 years old, I think, his family relocated to Amarillo. So anyway, he's still one of our own. And whether or not he's one of our own, he's a brother in Christ, so he's still one of our own. So anyway, we thank the Lord for the gift in his life, and we thank the Lord for his humility and his desire to be a help and to be a blessing. And that's his fervent desire, and it shows. And so we thank the Lord for sending him our way. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us today. And we also want to greet his wife, Amber, and two children, Jaden and Jada. It's God bless you. It's so nice to have you with us this morning. Just a couple of quick things, and then we'll turn the service over to our brother to just take his liberty. Brother Donnie Reagan informed us that his daughter, Erica, has been to the doctor, and her white blood cell count is low, and maybe it's the red blood cell. Some other blood count is low, and the doctors aren't sure what the issue is. But he asked if we would remember it in prayer, and we know the great physician knows. He knows everything. So I told him that we would bring this before the body, and we would fervently pray because we know the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So we have confidence this morning. Also, there are a number of families that are out sick this morning, so we want to continue to remember them in prayer, and those that are quarantining. And Brother John Andes has informed us that the group that is meeting now in Washington, they're looking for a more permanent place to have their meetings, and we certainly understand that need and that desire. And so they've been asking people to pray in his home state, and I told him we'd certainly be happy to throw our request in before the Lord. We know that it's the Lord's work, and we know that he controls everything, but we also know that you have to ask, right? And so we're going to ask, and we're going to ask in faith, believing, and we know that just as the Lord provided for us time and again, that he's more than able to provide for their need as well. So, and then just one more quick reminder, we'll have an announcement up on the bulletin board just as soon as we possibly can. And I apologize that we have announced it a couple of times. We just haven't put it up on the board. But we tentatively want to have our planning to have our annual meetings the 2nd through the 6th of March this year. So it's delayed from when it normally is because the gem and mineral show just keeps moving later and later out, and the prices of and accommodations keeps rising. And I mean, they really scalp people. And actually, it's more than just the price; it's availability. You know, when it pushes into the rodeo weekend, which also draws I think it's the second largest rodeo in North America. I think the one in Canada and Calgary in that region is the largest, maybe the third is in Great Falls, where I used to live. So so we will have that up on the board just as soon as possible, so that we are going to have those meetings one way or another. We are going to have them. So. We use the word tentatively, but no tentative. If there's 10 of us and we're streaming, we're still going to have those meetings. So we can't put our life on hold. And, you know, we've gotten through the worst of this pandemic, and it's time to just move on and, you know, do what we know to do, but just move on. Amen. So Brother J.R. comes from Life Tabernacle in Amarillo, in case you didn't know that. And if you would recall, when we were still meeting over here in the Fellowship Hall. Those are pleasant memories, aren't they? It seems so long ago, and yet, in some ways, not so long ago. He just burned up the building over there, so we had to come over here. So, so we're expecting the Lord to speak to us this morning, and whatever your particular need is, and so we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So, if you would stand this morning. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now, as our brother comes. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Just sing it to him this morning. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. So I lift my hands, I bow my knees, and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And again, with all your heart, yes, Lord, we need you. This morning, Lord, we welcome you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. And so I lift my hands, bow my knees, and worship at
Jesus. I need Just tell them how much you love them this morning. I need you. Right now. Hallelujah. Amen. He's worthy of all the praise, of all the glory. Amen. If I've ever needed the Lord, it's now. Amen. If I've ever needed Him, brothers and sisters, it's today. You say, well, you know, this is Sunday. We come to the house of the Lord and to worship. But brothers and sisters, I can't live without Him. Amen. I don't want to live without Him. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord with you and to worship with you and to just rally around the Word of God. And it has been a fight to get here. And I just know that the devil's working on one end, but I know a God who's working on the other. Amen. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. Well, I probably won't do any singing right now, but I do want to say I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here and for Brother Doug to invite us. Amen. God bless you, Brother Doug. Amen. So just to be here in the house of the Lord with you together. Yes. You know, there's something special, brothers and sisters. Yes. I know you may be missing a few. I've been told that you've been missing some, and I won't know the difference as far as who's here and who's not here. So it's not going to hurt that in that form. But I do pray that, you know, God knows what you need.
Amen.
And He knows when you need it.
Hallelujah.
And He knows how to deliver it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So this morning, if you will just look past this human flesh and just dig in and just help me preach this morning, I believe that God will bless your hearts. I believe He's here to meet your needs, church. He loves you this morning. You know how I know? Because He's been in the kitchen. And He's been cooking up some good food this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but you ever get to studying and you're just thinking, my, this is so good, and I appreciate the Lord. What is that? It's just God putting things together. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I do appreciate all that He's done. I do appreciate each one of you. I just feel kindred spirit here. Amen. I just love the Lord so much. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We'll just read a few verses here before we have you seated this morning. Amen. I am a past Arizonian. As Brother Doug mentioned, I was born in Phoenix, so don't hold that against me. I know there's a little bit between Tucson and Phoenix, I was born there and raised there till I was 12, and then we ended up moving to Amarillo, Texas, and I've been there ever since. So I'm pretty much a Texan too. So I've been there long enough. I think they finally accepted me, Brother Doug. Been there almost 32 years, and so I think they finally let me in as a Texan. So, but I just appreciate the goodness of God.
Amen.
Amen. How many appreciates the word of the Lord?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2. You know, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, you got to get something right out of this Bible verse that we're fixing to read. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Notice where we were, church. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Someone say, He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen, it says that in the ages to come. That's the age we're living in now, church. This was wrote many, many years ago. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Amen. How many has a need upon your heart this morning? You just want the Lord to meet. Let's just bow our heads. Most gracious Lord Jesus, Father, we just humbly bow before Your throne of grace and mercy this morning. So thankful, God, once again for the gathering of Your local body. Here we are, Lord, standing at attention, Lord. Waiting, Lord, Your commands. Waiting, Lord, for You to speak to our hearts. Lord, that's truly what we have need of this morning is a voice, Lord, that comes straight from heaven. That's Your voice, Lord, to speak the living Word, Lord, to our hungry souls. Bless each and every one that is here this morning, God. I pray those, Lord, that are part of this local assembly that's not able to be here this morning. Maybe they'll be listening online. Father, that You would just reach into their homes this morning. And let this same presence, God, that we feel here this morning be in that room. Father, that there's no limitations to who You are and what You can do. Lord, it doesn't matter if we're sitting there or sitting here. Lord, we pray, God, that Your Word would come, Lord, and it would do, Lord, what You have deemed it necessary to do this morning. Lord, You've seen every lifted hand. I pray, God, right now that You'd meet these needs, Lord, for Your body. Lord, You want to meet these needs. You're longing to meet these needs. And I pray, God, that we would be the ones, Lord, that would lift up in faith and say, Lord, here's my need. Amen. Take this need, Lord. We love You for it. We praise You. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many can say that we serve a good God?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to serve any other. Amen. Looking at these verses of Scripture this morning, I believe this is an encouraging Scripture that has been maybe read many, many, many times. And this morning, I really want it to sink into your hearts to recognize maybe what you've been through, maybe what it is that you had to face in your life, and what we were before God got a hold of us. You know, all of us can see maybe at one time the things in our life, the steps that we were taking, and how, brothers and sisters, that it just seemed like we was on such a road of nothingness, that our road, it just didn't have any meaning to it. It didn't feel, how many ever just didn't want to even get up in the morning because you didn't feel like you had that reason to get up and move and get up and do whatever it is that, but when God begins to change your life and He begins to take the old out and put the new in, brothers and sisters, there's a reason to rejoice. There's a reason to get out of bed in the morning. There's a reason, brothers and sisters, that we're here this morning. There's reasons, brothers and sisters, that we have come through. We've come through battles. You've come through tests and trials. Maybe even just recently this week that maybe you got into the very middle of that trial and you thought, how, Lord, in the world am I going to get through this mess that I'm in? I've been there, brothers and sisters. I've been in so deep it feels like I was Peter sitting crying out for help as he sunk down into the water. We've all had those moments, but I also can recognize this morning that without God, there's no way, brothers and sisters, that I could proclaim where I am today, that it's a good place to be. Amen. Looking at this, that brought us through so much, and I just really want this to really sit in your hearts, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Amen. He loved us. If you will turn also, I have a few scriptures I want to read this morning, and maybe it'll bless your heart. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and verse 6. It says, to let your conversation be without covetousness. And be, this is really powerful, be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, hallelujah. I was going through such a time in my life, brothers and sisters, just not too long ago. And it just seemed like everything I was putting my hands to fell apart. Anybody identify with that?
Yes.
Everything I touched seemed like it was wrong. Everything that I did, it seemed like it went the wrong direction. Oh, brothers and sisters, but all of a sudden I began to realize that, you know, it was the mighty hand of Jehovah God that didn't let me go certain ways. When in my mind I thought, well, this is the will of God. And I thought, well, this is the way I should go. The Lord, it felt like the Lord opened the door, but He only opened the door to close it. But what was it? It was a moment in my life, brothers and sisters, where you have to come and recognize that God's plans are bigger than your plans. That you don't have it all figured out, but we know one that does. Hallelujah. Oh my. So I want us to really look at this. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, because this has really just hit my heart real strongly. And if you're past all that, just forgive me for my ignorance, but I just want this to really touch. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, lust, and craving of earthly possessions. Do you see where we're living today? People will stand in line and for some kind of deal on a laptop computer for 6 or 12 hours trying to get some special deal. But they won't come and line up in the church to get into a place that will save their soul. They're so after the things of life and entertainment and so many things. They're craving after earthly possessions. But He says, don't let the love of these things grab a hold of your life. It says, and be satisfied with your present circumstance and with what you have. I'm thankful for what I've got this morning. I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, that I've got a God who said He'd never leave me and never forsake me. Oh, hallelujah. It says, for He, God Himself, has said. Oh, I love that. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up,
hallelujah,
nor leave you without support.
Hallelujah.
I will not in any degree leave you helpless,
hallelujah,
nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, brothers and sisters, when I read this, when I was at so low and I felt like the world was crumbling underneath my feet, I read this and I just couldn't help but hear these words. I will not in any way leave you. I won't leave you without support. I will be there for you. Oh, brothers and sisters, sometimes it takes those low moments for us to realize that God is there. If we were always on cloud 9, huh? Would we even think of God? My, when I heard this, just something got down in my heart. It says, He will not forsake me, nor will He let you down, and He will not relax His hold on me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning, He's not going to relax His hold on you. He's been holding you thus far. He's not going to let go now. If He'd ever given up on you, it would have been 2,000 years ago on His way to a place called Golgotha. If at any moment He would have given up, it would have been that moment. But He's already surpassed that moment. He's already made it past that moment. And now He looks at you and says, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll support you. Oh, hallelujah. So what does it say? It says, so take comfort and encourage yourself. Be confident and boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized by alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified what man can do to me. So no, I want you to notice how many times you can go through the very beginning of the Bible and you can work your all the way through and you can see how many times that the elect of God held on to this verse. And I want to just, my thought this morning is, then God walks in. Then God walks in. You want to see God walk in? How many wants to see God walk in? Get in a battle that you can't overcome. Get in trouble so deep, brothers and sisters, that you don't know your way out. You can't figure your way out. Then God walks in.
See, until that time, you humanly can do it yourself. Until that time, you humanly can fix it yourself. But you get into something so deep and so desperate, brothers and sisters, then you watch God walk in. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 28. You say, well, you got a lot of scriptures this morning. I just want to read through these, try to give us a little foundation. Genesis chapter 28. Let's talk about Jacob. Verse 15. It says, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Whew, my, how would like to hear this word towards you? And will bring thee again into this land. See, he was on the run. Jacob was on the run. He had just committed something where he stole the birthright. You remember the story. Y'all are educated in this, you know. But what did he do? He was on the run, running from his brother Esau. Yeah. I don't think he ran from his brother because his brother was over there ready to pat him on the back.
Right.
No, Jacob got in trouble. He got in so much trouble, brothers and sisters, that his brother swore that he would kill him. That's trouble. I don't know about you, but that sounds like trouble to me. Capital T, right? However T looks. Capital T. What was it? He was in trouble, but he was on the run, but he fell down and he went to sleep. You remember, he had this dream and he says, I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. Now the Lord already knew where he was going. The Lord already knew the difficulties he would face while he was there. But he also knew he was coming back to this homeland. And that he still had a place. He had an inheritance. Why? Because he had a birthright. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you can place yourself there this morning. You made a long trip around, brothers and sisters, right to get back where you are this morning. What is that? God's providence, God's hand on your life. Oh my. What did he say? He says, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I'm not, listen, he's not going to leave you. And listen, it says, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I want to tell you this morning, he's not going to leave us. He's not someone that's just fickle and going to leave when things get hot and heavy. He's not going to pack his bags and move out. Hello. Listen, sometimes we get so fickle. How many's ever just got to that point in your life? Don't raise your hands. We just wanted to pack up. We wanted to move. It reminds me of Brother Branham when he said, you know, I just want to go out there and I want to live on the backside. He said, just out in the mountain wilderness somewhere.
All right. Sure.
God, he knew what he was going through.
Sure.
But he says, that's not what I called you to do. Yes, he had to have his moments. And yes, he had to find relief. But he had to come right back and minister this gospel. Hallelujah. This truth that's been delivered to us, brothers and sisters. I'm glad that he didn't let him go sitting out in a wilderness somewhere. Amen. We wouldn't have the messages that we have today. But God says, I'm not going to leave you. William Branham, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be with you. Oh, my. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He woke up. He figured it out. I didn't even realize that the power and the presence of God was here. How many of times, brothers and sisters, we sat in these pews, these chairs, and we walked out and we didn't even realize the presence of God was right here among us to set us free, to get us whatever it is that we have need of in our spiritual walk. But one day you'll wake up. If you're the bride of Christ, you'll wake up and realize, hey, I'm not going to be the same that I used to be. Oh my, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? He says, there is none other but the house of God. He says, and this is the gate of heaven. I want us to understand that when it gets dark, that's when God steps in. You see, the darkness is trying, brothers and sisters, to truly knock out any light that's in our lives. But I want us to understand, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. The Bible says that it shall be light. Amen. About the evening time. We're living in that time. We could go on and on. I want us to jump down a little bit if we can. If you think about Joshua, how we're not going to read this, but if you want to, you can write it down for future. But if you'll look and you'll see Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 1, how Moses had just died and all of a sudden it was town. The whole responsibility had just shifted from Moses to Joshua. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lot of responsibility to me. or around 2 million people that he was trying to bring into a land. Now, they weren't always Christians. Now, they were called the people of God, but they had a whole lot of murmuring, a whole lot of complaining. Hello? We've all had those moments, brothers and sisters. We've all had those moments that he saw, that Joshua saw. But now it was time where the responsibility fell on him that we've got to cross over this Jordan. The Bible says to cross over this Jordan, this death. This is what's standing between you and your inheritance. He says it's time to cross over this Jordan. And the word was spoken to Joshua. He says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He says, I'll not leave you and I will not forsake you. How many times we hear this over and over and over again? How many times has this message probably been preached over and over and over again? How many times have maybe we wrote it on the mirror or we wrote it somewhere, we would remind ourselves that he's not going to leave me. Right. Why is it important? Why is that important to us? Right. Because we are completely dependent upon God. Yeah. If you will come to this place in your life, you will write it somewhere. Yes. Hallelujah. They may pull the pages out of the book, but brothers and sisters, it's written somewhere where they cannot take it away. Yes. When he said, he'll not leave me nor forsake me, I'm taking that to heart this morning. Yes. I don't want to take another step without God. I don't want to try to go it on my own. Yes. Moses, Brother Branham says this, Moses did just exactly what God told him to do. He's talking about going before Pharaoh. And he threw down his rod and it turned to a serpent. And these soothsayers came out and threw down their rods and it turned to a serpent. And Moses was at the end of his intelligence. Yeah. At the end of his strength. Right. But that's where God wants us to get. Yeah. Just to the end of our road. Amen. Then he steps in. Amen. It's just like him. Maybe you're so sick this morning till the doctor says you can't live. Oh my, think about this. It says that's the way it is when we try to get it. It says all that we can work ourselves, that's humanly. He says that's what we'll do. He says, but when it comes to a place where there's no other hope, them who doesn't believe in divine healing will believe. Right away then, it's their only hope. And Moses was at the end of his reach. Then God stepped in and caused his serpent to eat up the serpent of the other man. And then the serpent was no more. I want us to think about what God did for Moses. Moses did everything he knew how to do. He saw that he had that rod and he threw that rod down because he knew what that rod would do. Amen. Why? Because he had already seen it before. God vindicated. He did that, but he didn't tell them the rest of the story. The rest of the story was they're going to do the same thing. He may not have approached that situation the same way had he known that Jannes and Jambres was going to try to perform that same miracle. Hello? God didn't tell you, hey, this is exactly what it's going to be. A to B to C to D. No, he just says, go in faith and throw down that rod that I gave you. And trust me. Oh, brothers and sisters, see, sometimes we want to sit here this morning and we want to have it all figured out. I don't know about you, but I like a plan. That's just part of my nature. My nature, I don't like flying by the whatever it is, but I just like to have a plan. I like to know what's going on here and here and here. Just who I am. How I'm made. But I want to ask the question, do you trust God? Do you trust him this morning? That if he says, go and be a witness to this one or that one, or maybe whatever it is, on your jobs, wherever you are, he tells you to go do something. Brothers and sisters, will you trust him this morning? To be able to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Hey, it may get bumpy between A and B. Oh, it may. You may be like Moses. Lord, what do I do now? I'm going to put my hands in my pockets. I threw the rod down and here they come with their rods and they threw theirs down. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I didn't get any further instruction. You know why? Because you didn't need it. The only instructions you needed was to trust God. You may have not got any other instructions this morning. But I want you to know, trust him this morning. You get so deep, you'll see God move on the scene in this church. Hallelujah. My, what happened? Such things, glorious things happened, and we know the story, how his rod ate up the other serpents. He picked up that rod. Now, Janus and Jambres didn't have their witchy sticks. Hallelujah. I love God. Amen. My, how many times we can see, brothers and sisters, God walks in. He just walks in. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a church service and you sit there and you're all worked up and everything's happened and the world's falling apart? None of y'all had those services? Brother Doug, I'm moving to Tucson. I'm just kidding. Huh? Think about it for just a minute. You had those days, you've had those moments where it just felt like the world was crumbling. But then all of a sudden you sat in the service. And your little small prayer said, Lord, I just ask that you do something in this service. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. I'm barely here. But I am here. Help the song leaders sing the songs of worship. Let them lead in worship. And help the minister say something that'll touch my heart. That simple small prayer, he heard that prayer. And here comes that song leader, and he steps up here and he begins to sing, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Something just begins to move. What was it? God walks in. Notice the difference, brothers and sisters. It's not the man that stands behind the desk, but it's to God, hallelujah, who speaks worlds into creation. He steps in on the scene of your life, and he says, I'm not going to leave you. You may have felt like I left you already, but I've never moved. I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm here for your need. See, sometimes it takes those difficult moments for us to realize that God really, really, really loves us. Amen. You think about this. You think, I know we're not going to turn there either. I just feel led to go this route. Daniel chapter 3 talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. And I know these. Listen, if you come here for deep stuff, you're probably going to be missed out. I don't preach very deep, but I do want to preach what the Lord lays on our heart this morning. And I just begin to think about these three men, how they stood there. And that image was standing up in front of them. And they were told that you got to bow when you hear the sound of that music. You hear the sound of all these things in this world. It's an uncertain sound, I'll tell you. But you got to fall down and worship this image that he's created. That Nebuchadnezzar created. I want to tell you, people all around us are falling down and worshiping images that this world has, they have erected. An image is an illusion, a resemblance, a representative or a figure to bow to. We've heard it many times, brothers. There's a lot of things that this, and I hate to even say this, but even certain places, what we may even call headquarters, wants us to bow to an image. And it's an illusion. It's a resemblance or maybe just a representative of something. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you the question. Is there a Shadrach in the house this morning? Is there a Meshach or an Abednego that will be able to say, I'm not going to bow to that? I know that God would not want me to bow to something that just looks like a God. It may be nice, it may be pretty, it may be designed, but in such a great fashion, but there's something about it that's just not making sense. It don't make gospel sense. I want to tell you that the bride of this age will not and cannot bow to an illusion. What is that? It's an act of deception. Brothers and sisters, I feel sorry for those that will listen to that. You may even have family members. Hello. I'm speaking from experience. That may be a part of certain things that you know that you say, Lord, I want them out of that if there's any way possible.
Amen.
I don't want them a part of that. I want them to be able to know what freedom really is. I want them to know to serve a God who will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. I want them to serve the same God that I serve. That will walk hand in hand and do what he's done for me. He'll do for them the same thing. How many times has God lightened your burden?
Amen.
How many times has God lightened your burden?
Amen.
See, the heart of a real true son of God, daughter of God, wants to see the same thing for each and every one. See, this morning, I don't know what your problems are. I have no idea. I'm a man from Amarillo, Texas. Have no clue. But I do know there's one who knows. Listen, it may not be the person sitting next to you. It may not even be this man up here. But there's a God who knows exactly the mind battles that you've been facing, the things that you've been walking through. And he wants you to know this morning that you're not walking by yourself. You're not going to have to do it all alone. Why? Because you're the bride. You're the bride of Christ. He'll never leave you helpless. He'll never leave you with no hope. Oh my. Notice that God didn't walk in during the music being played. Y'all know the story. He didn't come down while they just heard the music and just lifted him up and pulled him out of that mess. No, it hadn't got deep enough yet. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about so deep? You're struggling for air. So he didn't walk in when the music was going on. And I want to say the same thing today. See, only after that they were thrown into the fiery furnace did God step in. Now, do you truly believe this morning that you're his? Do you believe this morning that I am bought with a price? Hallelujah. If he only did it for one, he did it for me. Do you believe that this morning? Then you ought to know, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter that the furnace has been heated up 7 times hotter. It doesn't matter that all the world is looking at you and thinking that you're just nothing but a fake or a phony. Come on, they notice how we act and how we dress. They notice that. What is it? When you get down to the very depths, you know the story. How they even, the strongest men bound them. And they cast, as they were going to be cast into that furnace, even those strong men lost their lives because of the heat. The only thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lost was the rope that was binding them. Notice the only thing that was touched in the furnace. The only thing that was touched in the furnace was the thing that Nebuchadnezzar and his men put upon these three Hebrew boys. The Bible says that not a hair of their head was singed, that when they come out of that fiery furnace, they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Oh, brothers and sisters. Oh, well, that was for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you can't see your name in here this morning, after all that you've been taught, brothers and sisters, you're missing it. Oh, how many characters in this Bible can I identify with this morning? Think about it. Think about what they were. Think about what was going on. I don't know about you. How many has a fireplace? Anybody here have a fireplace? You probably don't need too many around here. It's not too... and get awful cold. I don't know, but I can just sit at the fireplace, and if I don't open the damper soon enough, light the fire, guess what? I smell like smoke. Fire ain't even got hot yet. It's just now starting. What happens? How many ever just got around a campfire? Whatever. You leave that place, what happens? You just... The effects of that smoke or that fire has been latched upon your clothing. Maybe your hair. How many has ever left a Mexican food place and your hair smelled like Mexican food? Come on. I know I ain't the only one. And I'm going, I still smell chimichanga. I don't know. How did that happen? Why? Because we were there. We were in it. That's what happens to me when I get in. But these men were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when they came out, they didn't even have the smell, the odor that they had been there. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, when you think about that, you can walk in here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning and you can say, hallelujah, I don't even smell like smoke. Brothers and sisters, you can't even tell that I've been in a battle. You can't even tell that I've had the worst week of my life. I don't even smell like smoke. What is that? It's the mighty hand of Jehovah. And you think I don't have a reason to praise God. You think I don't have a reason to worship Him when it's my opportunity to step in through them doors and sit in these chairs. I don't even smell like the battle that I've just been through. I told you this morning, the devil's been working hard about this. Out just having fun with my kid and went to catch a football, and I'm not as young as I was 20 years ago. I told Brother Doug, I said, Brother Doug, I can talk, but I can't hardly get much more than that out. That thing was hurting so bad. I knew what it was because I'd injured a rib before. So I knew what it was. So I just called him and said, I can come, but I'll probably only give you about 50%. Because I'd already tried to preach at home and it was tough. And then, so once that kind of started moving out of the way, and I called Brother Doug and said, we can try to plan. It was for last weekend. Sure enough, you already testified, but I just want to testify. I just begin to think about what God's brought us through. I'm just been through something. But you can look back and say, God was with me. Hallelujah. Isn't that so encouraging? Hallelujah. Think about that for just a moment. I went to preach that week before and started feeling a little ill. Well, Jeremy was out of town. And I thought I had a viral infection like I had like 3 months ago or whatever. And I went in just because I knew I needed to make sure I was getting better so I could come. And they said, well, you're positive. I said, what? No, not me. I'm not positive. This ain't it, is it? And I had about 2 days that I didn't feel well, and thank the Lord, I'm not saying anything about this, but I just thank God that I've had flu that was worse than that. And I just thank God for that. I had the aches and the fever and stuff, but it was there, and it was just like 2 days, and it was gone. I just thank God for that. And I called Brother Doug. I said, I hate to do this to you. I said, but I test positive, and I don't want to come and spread anything else, just trying to use wisdom. And he said, that's fine, and just do as the Lord leads. And so I do appreciate Brother Doug for that. But I begin to think, brothers and sisters, look at the struggles that each one of us could come up here this morning and testify about. If there's 80 people in here this morning, there's 80 testimonies. That's only if you got one. I don't know about you, but I got more than one to testify about. Let me read on. I'm sorry. Brother Bram says this. It says, we believe we're at the end time. We believe it. And though it seems like at the end time, it says that the message and the messenger both is about broke. Listen to what he's going through here. He says, looks like Satan has tried his best to rimwreck us. Brother Neville, his accident. Brother Christ, it says there, the gun blowing it. It says, see, it looks like, and right now, when every church out through there is thumbs down on me. This is the prophet of God speaking. He says, see, it looks like it's just about broke. Looks like we're just about defeated. It says, don't you worry. He says, you know, it's usually at that time when God steps in on the scene of something he's been watching for a long time. He says, you remember. Oh, he says, remember that one time when the children went down to the fiery furnace. He says that they were holding true to that word. Everything went wrong. How many can identify with him? It says they throwed him in the jail. They kept him overnight. They were going to burn them up the next morning. And it looked like the end was near. They were walking right up to the furnace. But he come riding down to change the scene. Hallelujah. It all changed in just a moment. It's always them sweet, those weakest moments when it looks like the true message is about defeated. That's when God steps in. He let the message and the messenger get to the end of the road, see? Then he comes in and he rides the high wave. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, it was Jesus. When his enemies thought that he was defeated, the unbelievers said, "We got him on the cross." And the Sadducees and Pharisees hated him, hung him up on the cross. They thought, "We got him now." It was about that time that God rode in on the scene and raised him up on Easter morning. Broke the kingdoms of Satan and stripped hell, took the keys of death and hell and rose up with them. Sure, it was just at that weak time. Notice this morning, brothers and sisters, if you're at your weakest moment, you're fixing to get your greatest victory. If you'll recognize that this morning, you're not going to leave here with your heads hung down. Why? Because you're recognizing that God's on the other end. He's fixing to walk in. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, he had preached the word. He stood there and everything. It says then it was that real weak moment. That's when the victory come. When he'd done all he could do, then God came in and changed the scene. See, it's these great, some of the greatest victories come after the greatest difficulty. We could go on and on and on. Daniel, remember the story of Daniel? They could have said, "Well, I guess it's his time. He's fixing to go be thrown in the lion's den. You know, I guess his days are numbered." Isn't it good to be on this side and be able to read and see what God has done? If God was to tarry long enough, that we'd have to write another book of Acts of what he's done in 2022. In 2000. Hello. Amen. Why? Because there's witnesses here this morning of what God has done. Oh my, Brother Branham's talking about this, about himself. If you don't mind, I'll read this. "As many of my brethren," says, "they're having great popularity today amongst their denominational brethren. You just speak one name, boy, it's just like fire. Anywhere, that's right, you say a certain name of this person. And after all, when the Lord spoke to me down at the river, that day it spearheaded that revival around the world. From there come every one of these great evangelists." They says they went right back to their brethren, see, those denominations in which they come out of. They come out here and hold this meeting mixed up with denominations and they go right back into them again. They got a lot of favor, big names on radios, papers and everything. Everybody speaks well of them. "But all men has forsaken me because I've took a true word and stood by the word. I've stayed right here." I can just see him pointing right at this word. "I've stayed right here to what he said to me. Preach this word. Not a denominational philosophy. Preach the word." Amen. He said, that was my commission. Stay with the word. And brethren who is listening on this tape, it says, "I was a great guy when I come among you, just healing the sick and speaking of visions and showing things. But when I went to tell you the truth about the word," Amen. Says, what did you turn your back on me for? Do you realize it's just fulfilling what the scripture said? Yes. What it does that way. It says, "Now I can hardly get in a place." With that ministry, he says he can hardly get in a place. Letter comes all the time. It says one come the other day said, "Brother Branham, I had the greatest of confidence in you, but I heard you say that a certain denomination which I belong to was backsliding. Said, I have no more confidence in you at all now. From now on." Listen to what the prophet had to go through. His life was not just flowery beds of ease. He says, there was about 25 of the brethren of my denomination," this man's still telling this, "sitting in one of your meetings and said, we just got right up and went off." Says, "when you said that." Oh, I love this part though. It says, "Well, all men has forsaken me." Notice what his vision was. "All men has forsaken me." He says, "but there's one thing. He stood by me." Amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, when the whole world may go against you, your family may go against you. I don't know about you, but that's hard. It's hard. But it says, He stood by me. He says, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision that happened down there on the river. I stayed true to Him. He's been true to me. I'm trusting in Him someday. I don't know when, for a crowning of my ministry. Now, this was preached in 1962. Hallelujah. He says, I've stayed just as true as I could be. I don't know, it says, what it'll be. I don't know when it'll be. It says, and when He's ready, He says, I am. I don't care. It says, I hope He will crown my ministry of this, of letting me take the clothes of the Word and dress His bride in the clothes of the Word. And for His righteousness, I hope He will crown me. Let me stand on that day, say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. This was preached in 1962 in September, present day of my ministry. Or August, excuse me. I believe He didn't go very far until He went in April 1963. And I believe His request was fulfilled.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, God's people always have to realize that this is not, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, it's not the end. I want us to think about this. How many has ever felt the enemy come against you with weapons? I'm trying to hurry. I don't know how long I've been up here. Y'all need a clock up here somewhere if I can see. I want you to know that every weapon that Satan tries to lay against you is doomed to fail. Every weapon. Can we read some scripture for that? 1 John chapter 5. See, because a lot of times all we see is what the devil did. He's done this and he's overcome here. And look what how he's got this one and he's got that one in his grasp. Come on, we see what he's doing. We don't have our heads in the sand this morning, do we? We see what's going on. We see his deception. We see how he's trying to separate us. We see how he's trying to infiltrate between us. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm talking about. I barely graduated high school, so you just have to excuse me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Amen.
Did you realize? You know, I didn't realize this. When I got born again, the power that changed my life was I was going to overcome everything in this world that the devil would send. Think about that. I didn't realize when I come to the altar, I just said, Lord, I want to be forgiven of all my sins. And I want this Holy Spirit that they've been talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that I was going to be able to overcome the world. It says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is this morning?
Amen.
Do you believe that he's able?
Amen.
Then there should be no question, brothers and sisters, when you go out them doors and you face another trial, because I'm going to guarantee that you will.
Yes.
When you do, brothers and sisters, you need to look at that trial and say, I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I already overcome that trial.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says this, says no weapon. I want everybody to say this. No weapon. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This Amplified says that, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. You're here this morning because you're showing that the devil's already wrong. He told you to stay home. He told you not to get the victory. He told you to just lie in that old depression state. But what happened? No weapon. No weapon. Come on, he's been swinging them swords. Hello. This peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you the servants of the Lord?
Amen.
Are there servants of the Lord in this place this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is your heritage.
Amen.
Oh my. So I want to paint this picture. If you can just, hopefully you haven't lost your imagination. At least the kids will maybe listen to what I'm saying. Because all of us old people, what do? We get old, we lose our imagination, right? Most of us, half of us, some of us. But I want you to hear a great clatter this morning in the forges and the smithies of the enemy. I want to put yourself there for just a moment. And I want you to hear as they're making weapons. They are making weapons to try to destroy and try to smite all the saints of God. And they couldn't even do this much except that the Lord had allowed them to do this.
Yeah, right.
Oh my. See, there wouldn't even be fear except that the Lord allowed this to happen. He created the smith to blow on the coals in the fire. What is he doing? Getting that fire hot enough so that he can put that sword in there and get it hot enough that he can beat it as he needs to. And then take it over there and get it sharpened. And you can just see all, and I put myself in this. And I just see all these forges. I see all these smithies. I see all, and they're busily just in there laboring, trying to make weapon after weapon after weapon. How many swords? And after they make one, they get that weapon and they stand it up there after they've tested it and they've made sure it works. They made sure it's sharp.
Yeah.
And they stood it up over there. Maybe they would make spears and they would have a whole garrison full of all these weapons.
Yeah.
So every day the enemy comes and he says, "Now, Mr. Devil, which weapon should we use on Brother Doug? Which weapon should we use on this one and that one and Divine Love Tabernacle?" I'll just put it that way. Or fellowship, excuse me. "Which one should we use?" And maybe he points out this one. "Let's use this fear. You grab a hold of fear." So they grab this spear of fear.
Yeah.
Huh? What do? They don't even realize. But there's an inscription on every single weapon that's been made.
Yeah.
And it's in small little print. And it says, "It shall not prosper." Every time they make another sword, every time they make another spear, God comes by and stamps it and says, "It shall not prosper." So every time he comes and knocks on your door, brothers and sisters, I want you to tell him, "Read the fine print. It shall not prosper. It doesn't matter what you try to use against me. It's not going to work." See, if you realize that, brothers and sisters, you've done pulled the whole thing right off the devil. He's been in disguise, but brothers and sisters, you've just now unveiled and released everything. He doesn't even know what to do. You stand in that kind of faith. That's why you don't like this kind of preaching. When we begin to arm the saints of the living God. Ooh, hallelujah. And it's not just sitting on a shelf somewhere and it's not collecting dust. But brothers and sisters, I want to pull my sword out and you can look, I've got some blood on the end of it. What does that mean? I've been in some warfare. Brothers and sisters, you have been in some warfare. But what does that mean? It means that we're going to come through no matter what the devil does. No matter what he says. It shall not prosper. When cancer strikes your home, pull up that cancer thing. Don't turn this on. Pull up that cancer thing. Ooh, boy, that's in there good. Pull up that cancer thing and look at the fine print. Devil, let me see it. Let me see it.
All right.
It says right here, "It shall not prosper." And you can see just as good as I can. It ain't going to work. You say, "Well, I'll take your life with it." You don't even know what you're talking about. That's not my life. This is just a shell that I'm living in. Hallelujah. Amen. It shall not prosper. Cancer, listen, cancer shall not prosper. Sickness shall not prosper. COVID shall not prosper. Depression shall not prosper. Why? Every single weapon, brothers and sisters, it shall not prosper. Oh, no weapon. Someone say, "No weapon." No weapon. Why? Because God's got this rigged.
Yes.
Have you read the back of the book? How many's ever been reading something? You just got to know if someone's going to make it to the end. You flip over there to the back. Chapter 32. Oh, yeah, his name's still in here. Okay. Maybe you've been wondering about yourself. Maybe you've been wondering about yourself. But I read myself over there in Revelation chapter 19. That his wife has made herself ready. I'm still in the book. You're still in the book. Oh my. Are you still in the book this morning? My goodness. How many loves the Lord? Oh my. I want to read just a couple things. This is a little bit lengthy of a story, but I want to read it. Brother Branham's talking about that blind teenage girl. I want you to see how desperate, how low it must have gotten in her life. He says, that sounded like I was a hypocrite to do that. I'm kind of cutting in the middle of the story. He says, but I just got right where she was pushing along. See, and she'd say, somebody help me. She was a blind teenage girl. Somebody help me. And I just kept getting along, you know, until she bumped into me. She said, excuse me, sir. And I said, what do you want? She said, would you help me find my father? And I said, what do you want with your father? She said, well, I come over here to see the healer. And said, they tell me that I can't even get near the building.
Why?
And I've lost my father. And I can't find my way back to the bus.
Yeah.
Whew, notice. See, y'all already know this story, so you know how it ends. But just give me for just a minute. Put yourself here.
Right.
I said, where are you from? She said, Memphis. And I looked and I seen the charter bus. I thought, I can get the girl back there. Maybe so. So I said, you come over to see the what? She said, the healer. And I said, I thought I just questioned her just to see how much faith she really had. Now that sounds like a hypocrite to a poor blind girl. It says, but I said, the healer, yes, sir. And I said, you don't mean that you believe in such things as that. Notice he's testing your faith. As a day like this, with all the modern as we're living in today, come on, plenty of good doctors and so forth, and you're telling me you'd go to hear something like that? She said, sir, they can't help me.
Hallelujah.
See, look at her desperate moment she's living in. If I can tell you this, she has no sight. She's tried to get her eyesight, maybe in any way that she can, and she's come to that place, brothers and sisters, where it seems it's impossible. And I said, I see. I said, whatever gave you the impression to come here? She said, I listened to the radio, all the good programs. Notice what she's feeding on. And she said, I was hearing from over here in Fayetteville. That's where the man from Fayetteville said, I heard a broadcast that said this man was blind as a shoe cobbler, and he received his sight this morning. And said, we all got together and come over here in a charter bus and said, would you help me back? I said, yes, ma'am. But I said, first, what do you think about that? I said, you don't believe that man would be able to do that? She said, no, sir. She said, but Jesus can do it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I love this. Jesus can do it. I want you to look at your problem. Before I go any further, I want you to look at your problem this morning and say, Jesus can do it.
Hallelujah.
Jesus can do it.
Yes.
You may be fighting the hardest battle you've ever faced, but Jesus can do it.
Hallelujah.
Speak it with these lips this morning.
Hallelujah.
Jesus can do it.
Yes.
Oh, I said, oh. I said, well, listen, do you really believe that? She said, sir, I'll tell you what you do. She said, if you'll help me to where he's at, then I can find my father after that.
Hallelujah.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, talk about a rebuke. She said, you help me to where he's at, and I'll find my father after that.
Hallelujah.
I said, lady, you mean that? She said, yes, sir, I do. See, she doesn't even know who she's talking to yet. She's already claiming her healing.
Amen.
Oh, glory. glory. I said, perhaps I'm the one that you want to see. And she grabbed me like that. I could just see her grab a hold of the little lapels on his jacket. Whew. Think about it. She grabbed me like hands like they caught my coat. She said, is you the healer? I said, no, I'm Brother Branham. She said, that's who I want to see. She said, if you'll ask God, I'll find my father. I looked at her standing there, her eyes white, batting and tears running down her cheeks. And I thought, a blind Fanny Crosby, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. See, she had heard of that blind man receiving his sight. And she said, the doctors told her that the cataracts on her, her eyes had to get ripe, and then that they would be able to operate. He says, but now they've gotten ripe, and they had wrapped around the optical nerve or something, and there's no hopes for her. And she said, my only hope is to get in. And I just took her by the hand. I said, Heavenly Father, years ago, there was an old rugged cross dragging down through Jerusalem, the streets, dragging out the bloody footprints of the bear. On his road up the hill, his little weak, frail body fell under the load. And there was Simon the Cyrene, came and picked up the cross and helped him to bear it on. I said, here's one of his children tonight, staggering in darkness. Lord, I'm sure you understand. She began to praise God. She could see. That was all there was to it. She had her sight. What happened? God walked in. Amen. See, it wasn't Brother Branham. Brother Branham couldn't do it in himself. But yes, he had the gift. We all know this, but the Bible actually says, brothers and sisters, that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. I want you this morning, as we get to winding this down, ask God to walk in this morning. Let's see him in his glory, amen. In his power. Amen. I don't know about you, but I just feel like he's on high alert. If I hope I play this right, he's on the edge. Yeah. Somebody has a need this morning, and he's right there to meet that need. Amen. If you remember the story of Jairus, with that he went to go find Jesus because his daughter was lying there dying. People weeping in the house. And you know how the story went. And they come running. Don't bother him. She's already passed. And he says, and they walked in. What happened? Things changed. The whole scene changed. All because Jesus walked in. This morning, I pray that there's enough a pull in your heart to say that, Lord, I'll need you to walk into my circumstance. Is it okay if I read a couple testimonies from back home? Then this has happened over the years, but every time I read this, I just feel like faith begins to rise. And I know you would have your own testimonies here, but I just really want this to just be a blessing to you. This is from from Brother Lewis Clark. He's our pastor back home. He's has diabetes. And this was about a year and a half ago. It says, after service, he sent me this text. I was preaching that morning, a Sunday morning, and he said at the end of service, Brother Jeff, you just come back. And he was sitting in the back. He said, would you come back and pray for me? I said, absolutely. But he said he wanted to make sure it was after the preaching of the word. Something about it, brothers and sisters, when that happens. Yeah. So we walked back there. We just began to pray. Asked the Lord to touch him. And he sent me this. It says, after service this morning, getting home, I took off my socks. I just knew I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I looked at my feet, and my left foot that had been so bad was healed. If I had not seen before and experienced the burning pain, and knowing by experience that it would take at least 2 or 3 more weeks for it to get well. See, now God works in different ways. He can do miracles, or he can just allow the healing to come. He says it is absolutely well and clear. It says, the right foot, which got real bad after the left foot, I looked, and instead of it angry red, it says, now it's drying up. See, the left foot was a miracle. The right foot was touched this morning, and it's begun a miraculous dying process. He is Hebrews 13:8. He put this on the end. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I just say, then God walked in. See, it wasn't me. It's not me, brothers and sisters. When you come up here for prayer, it's not the man. You're coming to God. You're coming to Him, not me. You're not coming to me. I can't do it for you. But we know who one that can. There was healing of one of our elderly ladies. We had a communion service, and as she walked through the communion line, she took the communion. She had leukemia, and after the communion, she had no more leukemia. Then God walks in. My wife also, in another service, a different communion service, she was having a lot of back pain. She walked through the communion line. Same thing happened. She took the communion, and then God walked in. Took the back pain right away. There was a young sister, her name was Sister Brianna. She had had where she passed out, and it was long enough that when she had done that, it was something about her breathing. When she had woke back up, one of her legs, I can't remember which, I think she was dragging one of her legs after she had passed out. And I remember she come in there just after she'd been doing that a couple service, something just got all over my heart, and I just began to thank God, because He was speaking to my heart. That's going to be gone. Within just a few services, there she was, walking just like normal. Amen. Another brother in our church, Brother Jason, had a cyst on the heart. He actually went in, and they actually saw it through all the MRIs and all the things that they go through and do, and the scans and everything. And then he had to go in for surgery for actually something else with his heart. But when they did, there was no cyst there. Amen. They had proof of it before. But when they went in, the doctor said, there's not one there. What happened? God walked in. See, it's not man that does it. It's God that walks in. Amen. There was a sister, young person at home. She hasn't been able to eat a lot of different foods. And it's just been really messing up her whole stomach and everything. She went to one of the camp meetings. And when she come back, she said she was completely well. She's able to eat just whatever she wants. Two brothers in the sanctuary had knee issues. And in the same service, God walked in and performed knee surgery on both of them. God walks in. Brothers and sisters, there's so many things that we could talk about. How He changed, I wanted to say, it was my brother-in-law's heart. He was just out there doing everything you can imagine. He was an addict. So many things in his life was going wrong. But brothers and sisters, there was a church that was praying for him. I want to tell you now, he's in the back running our sound system. He's married. Brothers and sisters, he's serving God. What happened? God walks in. Hallelujah. Amen. I also know that one day I had a kidney stone. I didn't know exactly what it was at the time. But brothers and sisters, I went in, and they went to look for it all and did all the scans that they could do. Couldn't find it. Because God completely dissolved it. How many times have we seen God do these type of things? And if I was to ask for testimonies in this congregation, there would be the same thing. This is what God did for me. This is what He did for me. God stepped in and did this for me. What is it? Living testimonies that He's still alive. He's still real. He's still the same. He didn't go off the scene when Brother Branham left the scene. God is still God. Oh my. The healing of Sister Hannah's womb. She something happened. She was carrying little Evelyn, and she went into the doctor. She was losing all the fluid, and it wasn't time for that child to be born yet. And I remember Brother Jeremy calling, asking for us to pray, and we began to pray, and within a few hours that thing completely stopped. That's God. God walked in. I'll tell you this, one of these last ones, the healing of our sister, her name's Sister Loretta. She had sepsis, which is an infection in the blood. This was more recent. She went in the hospital. They said that she may not pull through. She's been in the hospital more times than I can even imagine. It's been so many. And then she was there. They said that she may not pull through. The doctor said they needed to do surgery, but they didn't think that she would make it through. So we began to pray. This was on a Saturday morning.
I remember we have church on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And I was to minister Saturday night. And I was over at the church Saturday morning. And I began to be in prayer. And a lot of times trying to get the mind of the Lord for the service. And all of a sudden something in my prayer just began to change. And I began to direct my prayer to Sister Loretta. And as I did, all of a sudden I began to speak in unknown tongues. And it was as if I was saying right there, she's coming out of this. That same night at church, Brother Jeremy, that same Saturday night, Brother Jeremy, we were sitting there in the office together before it was time for me to go out. Brother Jeremy said, you know, Brother Jerry, I had a dream just a couple days ago that she was going to be completely well. So that Saturday night, we're sitting there after he testifies, and I just begin to tell him what happened to me. And we're sitting there, we're testifying to one another. Faith is beginning to rise just in that little room. Phone call, the phone rings. Guess what happens? It's his mom, which is actually Brother Jeremy's mom. It's actually Sister Loretta's sister. And she says, it's getting worse. They said they don't know what they're going to do. It's getting worse. Please pray. And me and him are sitting there looking at one another and said, we already know it's done. See, the devil tried at that very moment to step in and try to lower that faith because, listen, how many knows how many times fear? What if? Can I tell you what if? Shall not prosper. It shall not prosper. What if won't prosper? We sat there and he said, you know what? He says, I'm just going to go up there. And he says, I'm just going to thank God for her healing. He walks up there, tells the whole story of what was going on. Whew, you could just feel the faith rise in the whole building. So Sunday morning, he's going to minister. He's up to minister, and I get a phone call. I have my phone sitting over there, and the phone rings. It's Brother Jeremy. It's around 7:30. So I picked up my phone, and I looked and saw a missed call with Jeremy Schreiner, and I was like, this is already confirmation. It was just, there was no doubt. It was automatic. So you say, well, how does that happen, Brother Jeremy? I can't tell you. All I know is it did. Yeah. Sure enough, I call him, and he goes, just want you to know, the doctor came in this morning, said that the sepsis was completely gone. Yeah. And that she won't even need surgery. Hallelujah. And that was on a Sunday, and on Tuesday morning, she walked out of the hospital. Yeah. To go home. Hallelujah. God Hallelujah. Walked Hallelujah. In. Now, at the very bottom of this, I put a whole bunch of dots. And I want your story to go there. Yes. At the end of those dots, it says, then God walked in. Amen. What do you need this morning? Amen. As you bow your heads, the musicians come. The devil's fought this quite a long while. He didn't want you to get this morning. Whether you're here or whether you're at home, I want you just to bow your heads. I want you to take this moment. And I want you to ask the Lord to step in on the scene in your need. Brothers and sisters, He wants to be here. He wants to show His glory. But He's searching. He's looking for someone. The Bible says that He can show Himself strong through you. I believe there's someone here this morning that God has been watching you. He's been watching you. He's been seeing the struggle that you've been facing. He knows, brothers and sisters, where it started. He knows where it ends. He wants you to know this morning, that He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how hard it is. He's here this morning. Let God walk in this morning. Let God step in through the aisleways this morning. Take a hold of your life and begin to change the things that you can't change. He'll do it this morning if you just let Him. He'll take the lost loved ones maybe that you've been praying about. He'll turn them around. He'll make them where they can't be satisfied with the things of the world. That's the kind of God I serve. He knows every prayer that you prayed. He knows every tear that's fallen from those eyes this morning. He says, I'm here this morning. I'm here to meet your need. Put your name there this morning. Let God walk in this morning into your circumstance. It had to get this hard. It had to be this way. It had to come to this point. Why? Because He wants the glory this morning. And He's going to have the glory this morning. He's going to have the glory this morning. He's already made ways. He's already parted Red Seas this morning for you. All we have to do is believe and trust Him and walk in faith this morning. I know that devil will come to your mind because that's where the greatest battle ever fought is, in your mind. And he will begin to tell you, it's not for you. It's not this time. Come on, church. You've heard it before. But let the devil know this morning that no weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. It won't prosper tomorrow. It won't prosper today. The victory is already here. You need something from the Lord. Why don't you stand up this morning and lift your hands to Him. Say, God, this is my need. This is what I'm desiring this morning. I give it to you, Lord. Step in on the scene this morning of my life. I can't handle it anymore. I'm giving it to you, Lord. That's what you want me to do. You'll come to the end of this battle that you're facing, and you won't even smell like, you will not even smell like the trial. You won't even smell like it this morning. Why? Because God walked in. Let God step in on the scene this morning. Let Him wrap His arms of love around you and protect you from every fire that the devil sends your direction. He's here this morning to meet your needs. Let's just call on Him for just a moment. Isn't He good, church? Isn't He such a good God? Oh, don't you love Him this morning? Hasn't He been good to you this morning? Oh, brothers and sisters, put your blessing in there. Then God walked in. Whatever it is that need, it doesn't matter how big it looks. I have a God that's bigger. I have a God that's greater. Step into it this morning. Let Him take, if you need healing, let Him just take you. Let Him wrap His arms of healing right around you this morning. Hallelujah. It may be a miracle this morning. It may be a progressive thing. But know that it's already done. Because with His stripes, we're already healed. Step into it this morning. If you need that depression to leave you, step into that victory this morning. I'm not going to let no devil steal my joy. I'm not going to let the devil steal my victory this morning. Hallelujah. I'm walking into it this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy.
And He is here. Hallelujah.
He's here, church. Hallelujah.